You have your Bibles this morning, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to share beginning in verse 6 of 1 Peter, towards the back of your Bible for a second. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. And once you find that, I'm going to ask you if you would stand if you're able, as we read God's Word this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, and this is what God's Word shares with us today. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in you, accomplished in your brethren that are accomplished in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Let's pray this morning. Lord God, we just thank you again for this time we have to share together. We thank you that we've already sung praises to you. We've thanked you. We've taken our requests to you. We've already heard some of your word. But Lord, I pray this morning that our hearts would just be focused on you, that we would remember that it's our relation with Jesus Christ that's the only thing that in the end is going to make a difference. So help us to focus on that and to realize this is your message for us today. So again, we thank you, Lord, for your presence here. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. You know, this morning as we look at this verse in 1 Peter, what holiday season are we in? Halloween. It's in the fall and we think about Halloween. And I know Tammy, as we watch TV once in a while, makes the comment, this is your favorite time of year to watch television, isn't it?
Least favorite.
And why is that?
Yeah,
all the scary movies, the horror movies, all those things that are on TV that we don't have any interest in. And you think about Halloween, and yet in our nation, it is the second holiday as far as people spending on decorations and all those kind of things. So like that or not, it's irrelevant. But you know, one of the things that we see, and we see costumes once in a while, and we see people dress up as, is what? The devil. Right? Have you ever seen anybody in a devil costume? And here's the thing sometimes that we need reminded of. You know, we can think of all these costumes and all these made-up characters that people put on as costumes. But you know what? The devil isn't just a costume. It's not. The devil is a reality. The devil is real. Do we understand that? And God's Word talks about the devil in many, many places. And you know, if we read, we can find that the devil was an angel, right? Satan, Lucifer. And he was an angel in heaven, and pride got in. And he thought himself greater than God or on an equal standing with God. And what happened to Satan? Got the boot out of heaven, kicked out of heaven, took a third of the angels with him. And guess what? Satan is still alive, isn't he? Satan is still real. And not only that, but it says in the Bible, in John chapter 14, Jesus is talking and he says, the prince of this world is coming and has no part in me. When he says the prince of this world is coming, who do you think he's talking about? The devil. Jesus calls him the prince of this world. He is a reality, folks, and one that we have to understand is a very serious thing. And here in 1 Peter, it talks about that. It says in verse 8, be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, you have an adversary. What is an adversary? What does that word mean? An enemy. An adversary is someone that is working against you. You have this goal and this purpose. An adversary is working to stop you from that goal, to stop you from that purpose in life. That's what an adversary does. There's conflicting goals and purposes. What is your goal and purpose in life? As a believer, to spread the word, to draw closer to Him, to live a godly life, right? Isn't that your goal as a believer? Is that your goal as a believer?
Yes.
All right. I was a little uncertain about some of you. If you're a believer, that ought to be your goal, hadn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Are we awake this morning? If you're a believer, should that be your goal?
Yes.
Yes, folks, we better understand that right off the bat. But after we understand that, our understanding needs to continue beyond that. We need to understand that if that is our goal, then and we have an adversary, there is someone that doesn't want you to spread the gospel message. There is someone that doesn't want you to live a godly life. That is what the adversary is all about, keeping you from reaching those goals. And the word says, be sober and vigilant because you have an adversary. Your adversary is the devil. And it said he's, what's he doing? Walking about like a what? Not just a lion. A roaring lion. You know, I remember years and years ago we were at a zoo. And Caleb was little. And we went past the lion enclosure, right? And there was a big old male lion in there, the big mane, all the things you think of about a lion. And all Caleb wanted to do was hear the lion roar. And of course, a lion is in the cat family, so what do they spend most of their time doing?
Sleeping.
And that's all he, every time we'd walk by, all that lion was doing was just laying in the shade sleeping. And Caleb was frustrated. He wanted it, I think he yelled at it, whatever. Of course, the lion didn't pay him any attention at all. We were ready to leave the zoo, walking by the lion enclosure one last time. And you know what that lion did? He stood up and he roared. Do you remember that? He's too little. You remember that, dear. I guess it didn't make as big an impression on him as I thought. But he wanted that all day, and he got it in the end. That lion roared. And you know when that lion roared? It got everybody's attention. Because that roar was powerful. It was such a deep sound that just kind of echoed all over, and you could just almost feel it in your chest. And I remember thinking, if I was out in the wild and heard that, I would be terrified. I'm not too worried because there's glass, big fences, and he's safe in there, and I'm safe out here. But if that was out in the wild, in the jungle, I would be scared. We ought to be not more scared, but more aware of this. That lion is not going to impact my daily life, but is Satan? He's going to try. And you know what else is true about a lion? Pretty much any of them in the cat family. You watch your house cat, you see the same thing. How do they hunt their prey? They sneak up on it. They don't like just run out and show themselves and then run out. They creep up silently. They sneak unaware. They hide. They crouch. And then right at the exact moment when they know they have their prey, what do? They pounce. Do you think any of that is true of the devil? Does he wait for the right moment? You know, we were discussing this on our Thursday morning Bible study, which I have loved our Thursday morning Bible study. And I praise God. I think Wednesday night we had like 34 or 5 here, and Thursday morning we had 20 here. Praise God, there are that many people who want to study God's Word. But we were talking about this because we talked about Christ being tempted in the wilderness. When Christ was in the wilderness at the beginning of his ministry, who came to him? Satan. To do what?
Tempt him,
to test him, to try him. And here's the thing. When did Satan come? Yeah, after Christ had fasted for 40 days, it says. And it says he was hungry. He was at his weakest, most vulnerable point right then, and guess who shows up? Satan. Do you think that's a coincidence? Could he have showed up any time in that 40 days? Yeah, he waited till the end of it. Let's wait till he's at his weakest, and then I'm going to show up. Do you think that's true for us? And I've said this before, and I hope we understand it. If Satan is bold enough to tempt the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, do you think Satan is bold enough to tempt you? Don't ever think, I'm a strong enough Christian, Satan is not going to tempt me. You will not be a strong enough Christian that Satan will never tempt you. If he is bold enough to tempt the Son of God, he will tempt you in your life. But there's a couple of points in our lives we need to be aware of when Satan is most likely to come. If you look, it's interesting. If you look at the verses right before verse 8, where it talks about Satan and being sober and being vigilant, in verses 6 and 7, these, I believe, are the points in our lives when we need to be the most aware. The first one says in verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." What's the first word there that we're supposed to do?
Humble.
Humble ourselves. You and I in our lives need to make sure that we have a humility about us, that we are humble in the presence of God. What is the opposite of being humble or humility? Being arrogant, being boastful, having pride in your life. Aren't those the opposite of being humble? Do you think if you are arrogant or boastful or have pride in your life, do you think that is a moment of weakness when Satan can come in and try to devour you? Why is that? You know, if you have pride, it's a moment when you're thinking, I've got all this figured out. Maybe you're thinking in life, I've got things figured out. Things are rolling along real smoothly. I've got this. Is that a moment of pride when you need to be aware? Yes. That moment when you think, I'm strong enough to figure this out. I'm smart enough. I can deal with this on my own. Is that a moment of weakness spiritually? Yes. It's interesting that in these verses, he says, before he talks about the devil, to humble yourself. Because if you don't, you are allowing a door open for Satan to pounce. When you have that pride, when you have that thinking, you can do it on your own. Because here's the thing, folks, we need to understand that we cannot do it on our own. And when we start to think we can, when we start to have our trust and faith in man, we are vulnerable spiritually. We are vulnerable. And Satan will take that opportunity and he will pounce. So the first thing we need to be aware of in our lives is when we maybe feel at our best, when we think we've got it, beware. Be sober and be vigilant. That means when times are good, doesn't it? That means when your health is good, your finances are good, and you think it's all great, beware. Beware that you're giving God his due, that you're praising him, that you're staying humble, or Satan will attack. But then there's the other end of things. The other end. Pride is kind of at this end when we feel that we're at our best. What about the other end? When we're not at our best. When we don't feel strong. Well, look at what he says in the very next verse, in verse 7. Cast all your cares upon him. What about those times when those cares in life are getting heavy? Those burdens in life are getting heavy. Do you have moments like that too? Things are stressful. It's the kind of the other end of things. Maybe you don't know financially how things are going to work out. Maybe health-wise, you don't know what's going to happen and it's not going in the direction that you want it to go. Those are also weak points in our lives, aren't they? We can choose to cast all our care on him, or we can choose to do what? Give up hope. Doubt God is really there. Maybe you get sick and you're praying and you're not getting well, and guess what? You can start to wonder. You can start to question. You can start to be angry. There are times in our lives where we get angry at God sometimes, aren't there? God, if you're real, why aren't you doing this? Or why aren't you doing that? Or why did you allow this to happen? We can have those questions in our mind. And folks, that's when we need to cast all our care on him, because if we keep it to ourselves, that is a moment of weakness. And in those moments of weakness, guess who again is there and ready and prepared to pounce? Our adversary. The devil, who is walking around as a roaring lion, just seeking whom he may devour. Folks, and here's the thing, in our lives, Satan doesn't show up with horns and red with a tail and a pitchfork. I mean, that's the image, right, that the world conjures up. That's not how he shows up. How does he show up? How does he show up? It says in the Bible he can even appear as an angel of light. He can appear as something good. But he shows up in a lot of other ways too. He shows up in discouragement. He shows up in despair. He shows up in hopelessness. He shows up in pride. All these are weaknesses and areas that Satan wants you to be in. He wants you to have those things in your life. Because when you do, he knows that you are weak. Again, if you look at the story of Christ in the wilderness, after he was in the wilderness and fasted for 40 days, it says very plainly, and it makes sense, he was hungry, is what it says. Those three words, he was hungry. Doesn't that kind of make sense? Are any of you hungry right now? I am. I'm always hungry. Guess how long ago I ate? 11:30. I ate about 8 o'clock. I had something. And I'm hungry already. If I go 40 days without food, I'm probably not hungry. I'm probably, what is it, hangry? Hungry and angry all the same time.
That tree looks really good.
Yeah. And you know, it says Christ was hungry, and Satan showed up, and you know the first thing he told Jesus to do? Why don't you take that stone and turn it into a loaf of bread? Something that sounded good, something that looked good. That's how Satan works. He presents something in front of you and says, here, doesn't this look good? That's what he was doing to Jesus. Just make it into a loaf of bread. And here's the thing, Satan, his tricks are old. They're old. All the way back to Genesis, first sin in the Bible. We have Eve in the garden. Satan shows up, and what did he present her with? Here, just take this apple. I know God said don't eat it, but doesn't it look good? Just eat it. No big deal. Satan will put stuff in front of us that just looks good, that strokes our pride, that increases maybe that depression or discouragement. Anything that pulls us away from God is what Satan puts in front of us. And we're going to talk about Satan not just this morning. We're going to talk about him, I think, next week too. Because, folks, he's real. And there are some things the Bible says very clearly that he focuses on and that he does. And guess what? You know what? The longer you do something, do you get better at it? Yeah, sometimes. But generally, isn't that true? If you work at something and you do it every day, don't you get better at it? How long has Satan been doing his thing? So guess what? He's good at it. Plain and simple, he's good at it. And we need to be aware of that, and that's why it says be sober and be vigilant. But you know the verse that Annabelle read this morning, 1 John 4:4? You know what that verse says? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The he that's in me, who is that talking about? The picture Nate had up at the very end. Yeah, it's not up there now. Picture of Jesus. That's who the he that is in me is talking about. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Who is the one in the world that it's talking about? Satan. Greater is he that's in us, Jesus, than he that's in the world. Folks, we have access to a power that can fend off Satan. We have access to a power that can overcome Satan. But we need to make sure that we are making use of that. That we have that as a part of our lives. That we are in a relationship with Jesus Christ so that when Satan comes... You know, once Peter was talking to Jesus, and you know what Jesus told him? He said, get behind me, Satan. That's what Jesus wants us to be able to say. When Satan comes knocking, that we say, just get out of here. You don't have any place here. You don't have any power here. But folks, it says to be sober, be vigilant. What does it mean to be vigilant? Be aware. Be on guard. Here's the thing, Satan will worm his way into your life wherever he can. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Wherever he can. So the Bible is saying be aware. Don't let him in. Be aware that he's real and he's working against your relationship with Jesus. But praise God, Jesus is stronger. Praise God, there's more power in our relationship with Jesus than Satan will ever have. Do you believe that this morning? So I'm just going to encourage you, and again, we're going to extend this study next week too, but be sober and be vigilant. Make sure that your relationship with Christ is all that it needs to be on a daily basis. Because if it's not, Satan will take advantage. He'll get in. And we're going to talk about, you know what it says Satan wants to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants for you. Does that sound good? If somebody showed up, knocked on your door, and they say, I want to steal, kill, and destroy in your life, what's your response going to be? Shut the door, you think? And are you going to leave the door open to have a conversation? You're going to shut the door. But you know, so often Satan comes knocking, and it says in the Word, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and we say, why, come on in. It'll be great. Be sober and be vigilant. We have an adversary that's trying to keep us from our relationship with Jesus, trying to keep us from telling others about Jesus. But remember, greater is the one that's in us, greater is Jesus Christ than he that's in the world, than Satan. Let's bow our heads. Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. And I just pray, Lord, that as we think about the reality of Satan, that we are aware, that we are vigilant, knowing that he has a desire and it works contrary to yours. But Lord, help us also to be aware that when we have a relationship to Jesus Christ, we have the means to defeat Satan. We have the means to overcome whatever obstacles, whatever challenges he throws up in our way, whatever discouragements, whatever pride he tries to introduce. That when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that is greater than anything Satan can throw at us. So help us, Lord, to do everything we can to grow our relationship with Jesus, to grow closer to him, to rely more on him, to thank him and to give him the glory and praise more and more every day of our lives. We live in a world where Satan is the prince of this world. We can see that very clearly. Lord, help us not to let him be prince of our lives. Thank you for your word and for the encouragement that it provides us. And we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning as we pray, the altar's open. And you know, I believe sometimes God tugs on our heartstrings. Do you agree with that? Yes. Sometimes we have burdens, concerns, and worries that we want to take to him, and we think about coming to the altar. But you know what? When you think about coming to the altar, do you have an adversary then too? Yes. Satan that says, you don't need to go up there. Everybody's going to just wonder what you did. Everybody's going to think something's wrong with your life spiritually. That's Satan working too, isn't it? My prayer is that in this church, Satan never wins. If God is speaking to your heart, answer, respond, and be faithful. The altar's open this morning as we sing. Becky? As we close today, I just ask you to repeat something with me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Remember that each day this week. Remember that Satan may come, Satan may tempt, but greater is Jesus Christ that's in us than he that's in the world. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord God, thank you again for this morning. I pray that you would remind us that when we have you in our heart and when we have you on our side, Satan can't defeat us. He may come, he may tempt, we may stumble, but we won't fall. And I thank you for that strength, that hope, that encouragement that you can provide. And I pray, Lord, that we recognize our great need for you in our life each and every day, that we can't do it on our own, that we can only do it with you. Watch over us as we leave here. Help us to be sober and vigilant, but to know we have the victory through Jesus Christ. And we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. God bless you and have a wonderful week.